So I think these periods of time on a silent, in the midst of a silent retreat, are really helpful, both to get your questions answered, but also to just share what you've been noticing in some of these explorations, especially around Vedana now, or this feeling tone. So it's really helpful, I think, just to get to hear other people, what they've been noticing, and to get to hear yourself in the silent retreat, just what your observations have been. So I'd love to, and I'm Carrie, for those of you who I haven't met before. And this is a little new, in which Tori's offering the teaching and I'm doing some of the Q&A and discussions, but I think it should work just fine. So whoever would like to start, ideally we'd be kind of all on one level in a little group, but logistically today that's not going to happen. So I'd love to hear just a little bit. What have you been noticing? Is there anything that seems confusing or not clear about this? Yeah, please.
So my name is Jen. I'm actually a Finkelweaver, which means that I was also here for the first go around, but I was really feeling a need to kind of process a little of what came up. So
Oh, Finkel, your last name is F. Is that
yes,
okay?
that's what
Got
I'm
it.
saying. I'm an
Okay.
F.
So you're infiltrating.
I'm infiltrating. And I really appreciate, can you all hear me? It feels like it's cutting out a little bit. Okay. I really appreciated the teachings on the Vedanas and the pleasant and the unpleasant and the neutral. I don't work with them that much. And so to return to them and to really realize, at least in this moment, like how unpleasant my body was feeling. And it was like a 30-minute this shit sucks. Like, and wow, and how I do a lot of my meditations actually lying down, because my body, it doesn't feel good when I sit in a chair. It doesn't feel great when I sit here. And I'm able to meditate, but then I don't feel like I'm like really meditating. So I appreciated Tori's reminder around that. But I just appreciate the invitation to share what I'm experiencing, because it's not pleasant, and I suspect it informs the way that I engage with the world, sort of in general. And so I just wanted to share that.
Thank you.
Thank
Thank you,
you.
Jen. And this Vedana, it's really a game changer. Once we start kind of tuning into it at that level, and retreat is so helpful for this exploration, because you're there for half an hour, and you're there in the morning, and you're there in the afternoon. And how many people have noticed a different kind of feeling tone in your experience now as opposed to this morning? Is it different? Yeah. And how many people have noticed physical pain or discomfort today at some point? Right. So it's such a good territory, such a good place to explore, especially in the context of retreat. So we get to see how much it shifts, but we also get to see, because there aren't as many distractions, what are our habitual responses to that pain. I mean, pain, like evolutionarily, it's got really strong messages that are telling us, do something. This isn't right. Do something about this. So it has a way of kind of just grabbing our attention and narrowing it down to a point. If we've got back pain, knee pain, headache, just grabs the attention. And so what we can do for noticing Vedana is to just watch how that whole reaction unfolds. We don't have to make our experience pleasant, but we can, there is a little room to explore that immediate kind of grip, which is like, I hate this, I got to get out of here. When is this going to change? So just that moment in which the unpleasant experience becomes a story and a plan for escape. You know, it happens so quickly. So we can stay right there at that moment, like, oh, okay, unpleasant, unpleasant. You know, sometimes that little labeling helps, but if we're letting our attention or awareness land lightly there, and that steadiness, like Tore said, it is possible to get a little bit of space around that immediate reaction. That doesn't mean that it stops, that the pain stops, but I think it can create a little bit of space in that reaction. Yeah. So there's lots of good territory there. Yeah, Lori. Okay, and then after, and Lisa next. Let's do Lori and then Lisa.
Can you just say a little more about what you can do in that space once you've made it, like some tricks or tips for exploring it?
Yeah, even before the tricks and tips, it's really helpful to tune into the fact that this is changing. This is changing all the time. So even looking for the tips and tricks is almost like, behind that is like, I kind of want this to be gone, right? I kind of want to figure out how to maneuver this so it doesn't feel this way. And, you know, fair enough. That's a completely human response. But just to notice, you could even ask it as a question, how does it change? How does the Vedana change just by bringing my awareness to it? So I wouldn't start with the stabbing back pain. You may start with like a little twitch or something that's a little irritating. And I think it's helpful to notice that, but also notice the space around it. Right. So again, pain has a way of like narrowing and sucking us in completely. But just noticing that tinge or tone right around it, and just notice, is it changing or is it staying the same? You know, mentally we have this idea of pain. It's this big, solid, immovable block. Pain is like this. It's like the mind gets a hold of that, and then it's off to the races. But if we're right there at that level of sensation and tone, we can start to sense, oh, it's shifting all the time without me trying to fix it or change it. It's shifting, it's changing. So that's kind of an important first step to notice. Yeah. And this, all of Vedana is kind of unconditioning our habit mind. That's the whole power of it, is it starts to uncondition our habitual reflexes to push, to pull, to space out, to not notice. So it unconditions us. Okay, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
I think that what I have, I'm going to cry. That's who I am. I think that I'm assuming this is a feeling tone. Whenever I am alone and I'm in my house alone, because I'm not feeling well, so I didn't go to the retreat. I'm doing this at my house. And I find that whenever I'm alone, I have in the past several years, and it kind of started right before COVID, but during COVID, felt very have anxiety. And it's like I'm alone or I'm in transition and with someone, and then I'm going to go be by myself. And I have this horrible anxiety. And that's become habitual. So when something becomes habitual, then does it become more of a feeling tone, or is it still just, this is the way I react? Does that make sense?
I think so. And I think you're speaking to that line between feeling, tone, and emotions, right? Which is the third foundation is a lot about emotions and mental states, but we can see how there is this habitual reaction, which even before you call it anxiety, right? Even before you give it that name,
yeah,
it's a fluid, dynamic mix of sensations, right? Some of them you might find unpleasant. So there's the Vedana, right?
Yes. But
even that's a little subjective. You know, I often give this example, but I used to have a lot of anxiety around public speaking, and I would be with other teachers and I would be having so many sensations and just this flush of a lot of what I labeled anxiety. And sometimes my co-teachers would be having a lot of sensations and a lot of the same kind of physical experiences. But one of them would be, this one who I remember in particular, was part of the theater and had this theater background. And he labeled all of those sensations excitement. And he would say, isn't it great that we get to do this, you know, that we get to teach? And I was like, no, no, it's not. I don't feel that way. So it was like the same sensations, but for me, I labeled them unpleasant. I had a whole story around what they meant, what they said about me, where they came from in my past. And he had, I'm guessing, somewhat similar sensations, but a whole different emotional response and story to it. So the Vedana and the emotions or the mental states are really close together.
I think it's interesting. Sometimes I don't know if it's a feeling that comes first or my story.
Yeah, they probably almost co-arise because they're probably very close. But the important part is to use that as kind of a call to practice, right? It's that's the turning, rather than being completely sucked in to the state and the reality of what it's saying. Mm-hmm. There's it's like a call to awareness in that moment. Okay, let me see this. Yeah, not so I have to shut it down or make it stop, but let me see, how is this unfolding? Yeah. And for me also here, you know, compassion comes in pretty, when we're that close to the discomfort, there's often, I think, a spontaneous just sense of, oh, this hurts. This hurts. And that's human too. Like, oh, okay, whew. Ooh, this hurts. And that's a bit easier, not easy, but a bit easier and a lot more effective than, oh no, what am I going to do about this? They're always this way, or, oh, this is just intolerable. How am I going to, you know, can you feel that difference? It's very different than, ooh, okay, this hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or this is uncomfortable. This is an uncomfortable moment. Yeah. This is unpleasant. This is unpleasant. Yeah. So
okay, thank you.
Yeah. I find questions really helpful. Like, is it okay to feel this? Yeah. Is it okay to feel this in this moment? Yeah. Thank you, Lisa. I hope that's helpful. I'm sure others could relate to that too. And someone else online, Martha, hi.
Hi, hi everybody, hi Carrie. This was a really interesting practice for me. I've practiced a lot with my body sensations, and it was honestly challenging, I think, to allow myself to go a bit more into a direction that felt like thought almost, where I was trying to come up with a concept or a label for the body sensations. And so I found myself needing to exercise a bit more discipline, or I was often drifting. I was drifting more than usual, perhaps, or more than I find myself to drift when I'm just working with body sensations. And something that came up for me this time when I was, you know, observing what was happening, and sometimes it was pleasant, sometimes it was unpleasant. The sensation in my body was actually quite similar, where there was sort of this like clenching feeling or constriction. And when it was pleasurable, it was like constriction after this pleasurable experience. When it was painful, it was like constriction away from it. I don't know if this is a question or for you or a question for me, but something I'm sitting with is how durable is that observation? You know, is that something that is that the nature of body sensations in relationship to pleasant and unpleasant, or will that itself continue to change over time?
Yeah, I think that's a great one for you to there's some natural curiosity there. No, there's some natural curiosity there. And it's, you know, we're talking about Dharma investigation in a way. It's like getting close to the nature of experience. And pleasant horn or unpleasant there. And so it's not something we kind of go up to our heads to try to figure out. Like, don't worry about getting the right label or getting into any kind of analysis around it. Well, does it fit into this category or that category? Just kind of stay close to it and notice. So when I say asking a question, it's really an invitation to sort of get closer to the nature of the experience, not to answer it with the conceptual mind. So just stay close to that clench and just notice, oh, okay, all right, interesting. I clench up there around the pleasant and the unpleasant. Interesting. And just see, okay, is it moving? Is it solid? As a way of staying in the territory. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, so maybe Leslie and then Alexis.
So this is a vagueness way beyond me at this point. My question is, okay. She was talking about making the or experiencing the sort of neutral meh, for lack of a better term, and having that then become pleasurable or pleasing. And I was like, okay, so that was confusing. Is it just that you're noticing it becomes pleasing rather than, you know, the hope that you can not glom onto the pleasing? You see what I'm getting at? Maybe.
It's not that it's supposed to become pleasing.
Sort of like, if it's a meh, I mean, I guess
I think just notice that it's changing. No, that's the part that Vedana is always changing. It's coming and going. It's not that it's like a straight pendulum going from pleasant to unpleasant, but there are all these kind of movements in between, you know? And what happens when we're aware is that we're not doing our usual thing. Our usual okay. thing is, again, making it a story mm-hmm. that usually has something to do with me. I feel like these things are happening to me. So we're not doing the usual thing. We're not making anything solid. We're not creating a world around it. We're just letting it change, like letting that, you know, contraction kind of come and soften all on its own. So we don't have to make that happen. We don't have to make our experience more pleasant.
Noticing.
Right.
And,
right.
And even if, I mean, maybe this is not correct, but even if you're noticing the meh, it can go from that, from could be pleasant or unpleasant. It's just changing.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah. So the key part here is that it's not in the object, right? It's in our relationship to it. So it's not that the chair is inherently pleasing or unpleasing. It's how I'm relating to it.
And I think my brain is like, well, judging it, you know, it's like, it should be good or it should be bad or it should be this or not. That's beyond that piece.
That's right. That's an extra layer on top of the pleasant. But we're all doing that. That's how we're right. But to see that. So in all of this to, you know, we have to be careful that when we start to see things, sometimes it's very quickly the narrative will come in like, I'm doing something wrong, or that narrative of judgment. Like, it's happening this way and I shouldn't be doing it this way, you know? And it's some kind of, you know, story about me that'll come in very quickly. But the noticing is just noticing. Right? Like, oh. So if we can actually kind of celebrate that it is possible to understand this, to see this clearly, and that's really, really helpful. So every little bit that we can see is, I don't know, maybe extraordinary is too big of a word, but it's a really good moment to be able to see it. So, yeah, thanks, Leslie.
Yeah.
Alexis.
Hello, I appreciate, just really appreciate this time for the Q&A. I think I haven't really had a lot of experience practicing with this before, so I found it very insightful because it was just like the first, you know, kind of like, you know, one of the first few times. And I think one of the things that I observed in was that physical unpleasant physical sensation usually came with a story, like usually a pretty dramatic one after. And it just made me think that, like, I wonder how just as like a habit in my regular life, how often when I'm telling stories about situations, be that people, be that other things, it actually starts from a physical sensation that I might not have even realized. Like, the story may not even be related to the physical. In this case, it was, right? Like, in the sit, because this is where I am and my focus is so, like, my concentration is so focused, you know, an itchy ear becomes a bug crawling in my ear or something. But it made me wonder, like, it sort of made me wonder that, you know, in the middle of the day, if I haven't like hydrated properly or fed myself, or, you know, have an achy, you know, the weather changes and I'm achy bones or something, that I end up telling stories about other things without even realizing the connection between like the unpleasant sensations and the stories that I'm telling. I don't know if that makes sense. But.
That makes perfect sense. And that's exactly it. Yeah, that's exactly it. So that in some way, it's like taking responsibility for your own mind, like really knowing what your mind is doing, not in a judgmental way, but to be able to see it. Yeah, I used to, in my early days of parenting, I used to notice this a lot. I would get really irritated at a certain point. This is a mundane example, but sometimes these are helpful. Get really irritated, like about halfway through bathing my son. And I couldn't figure out, and I would just notice that all of a sudden I'd get really irritated. And as I was more aware, I would notice, oh, I was bending over. My back was uncomfortable. I was hot, and it didn't have anything to do with him. It was starting from a kind of convergence of unpleasant physical sensations. I was also tired and all those things. But it's almost like once you recognize that, you don't have to do a huge shift. But just to see it kind of takes the wind out of the sails of your story around, you know, how unpleasant the situation is, right?
So may I add one more thing?
Yeah, please.
I think my other takeaway from it was also like one of like deep compassion for other people. And I think that, you know, part of why I really wanted to do this week, and I think maybe like many other people, is just sort of feeling like very battered around by feelings about how other people are and how other people are engaging with me and all of those things. And I think, you talked about creating a space, and it feels like this practice has also shown me like a space for other people, or like compassion for other people, that maybe the stories they're telling about me, the experiences that they're having, are also rooted in something that is like their experience of pleasant or unpleasant, if that makes sense. I feel like more compassion than I might have at the beginning of the day.
That's great. Thank you. Okay. Good. Okay, maybe Claire, and then we'll take, did you have something, Claire?
Very quick.
Okay.
Do you have time?
Yep, and then we'll have a little pause between now and the next sitting. Yeah, please. Yeah.
I wasn't planning on sharing this, but actually a lot of what you shared made me think of it, and I wondered if it might resonate. One of the sensations that came up for me in this practice, which I actually haven't felt a lot over the past couple of years, but I used to feel it a lot, like before I began to practice mindfulness and meditation, was an overwhelming feeling of being boxed in and constriction and like almost caged in by myself. And one of the things I've been working with recently is experimenting with spaciousness. And like, I'm a very visual person, so curiosity often manifests as spaciousness for me. And one of the things I noticed in this practice was discomfort and that feeling of being caged in. But it was really amazing to be able to practice noticing self-compassion in that moment. And then instead of just feeling the cage, feeling the openness on the other side that was an option, and not necessarily needing to exit, but just being like, oh, they both exist. And I feel this now, and I'll feel the other side soon. And I don't, not necessarily feeling control over it, but feeling a little bit more peace with that.
Yeah, the sense that that wasn't the whole story. The cage wasn't the whole story. Yeah. Beautiful. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. All right. Thank you, everybody. Appreciate your comments and questions. And there's a little bit of time if you need to use the bathroom or have a little bio break. Thanks. Online.